So Peter and running, but the other disciple outranked Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you're looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I'll get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. This is the word of the Lord. We invite Pius to give us some reflection on these scriptures. And let us pray for Pius to get them. Let's pray. Father, we just want to thank you for your love that you have invited us to yourself. And I want to thank you today for the message you have blessed in our brother here, Pius, the reflections you have placed in his heart. We pray that you speak to us through him, that you give him clarity, you give him utterance, to speak things that are on your heart. And we also pray that our hearts be open to what you want to say to us today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Are you happy to be here?
Yes.
Are you happy to be here?
Yes.
I don't feel that. Elsewhere in parts of the world, I mean, I think that it will be a lot of drumming and dancing and jubilating and showing what you have, your handkerchief and that kind of thing. Because we believe that it's supposed to be a celebration. Amen.
Amen.
It's a celebration. If you had a relative that you love so much who died and all of a sudden resurrected, I'm sure you will run away the first time. But then you will come back to reality and realize that, oh, this my brother or sister is not really dead, but is alive. And that calls for celebration. Amen.
Amen.
So today we want to reflect on the resurrection. This has some kind of historical importance because it is something that actually happened. It is something that we can trace and say that actually happened. Amen. But beyond the history is a lot of significance to us as believers. Amen. And as I read the scripture, there were a lot of things that were jumping at me, and those are the things I would want us to reflect on this morning. So the story is a typical one that most of us are very familiar with. And it's recorded in all the four Gospels. And there are twists and turns to each of the recorded versions. For example, if you read in the version of Matthew, it actually says that there were two angels who rolled the stone away. But in this version that we read, it didn't actually give those details. But it went on to give other details which I didn't think were so important until this moment. Amen. And so we will dive into it. The story basically is such that we all know that Jesus was crucified. He was crucified on Friday. Saturday, he remained in the tomb. The disciples went to take his body from the cross and put it in a tomb in a garden somewhere. And so there his body was on Friday, Saturday, and partly Sunday. Amen. And so the story begins with Mary Magdalene, who Jesus had delivered of 7 demons at some time ago. And so she wakes up very early in the morning, and the first thing on her mind is, I want to see where Jesus is. I want to see his body. And so she runs quickly to the tomb to try to find Jesus' body. And the Bible says she went there and the tomb was empty. Amen. The tomb was empty. But that was not enough. That was not enough. She had to go and tell the news to other disciples. And they also came and saw that the tomb was actually empty. And the events that are recorded and the sequence in which they are recorded actually tells me that there is more to the story of the resurrection that we have always talked about. Amen. And so I will try to put some pieces together. There are 4 main important things in the story to me. Is that Jesus and his resurrection. Then you have Mary Magdalene. Then you have the disciples and their attitude. And then you have the angels. And I'll try to talk a little bit about each of them. The very first thing that strikes me is the early in the morning. I believe that Mary Magdalene had so much to do. She had other important businesses to attend to. But the first thing she did early that Sunday morning was to run towards the tomb and see where her Savior was placed. I don't know what she wanted to do with Jesus' body, but it looked like she, in the Jewish culture, they always want to give people proper burial. And most of them seem to think that Jesus didn't receive proper burial. That was why Joseph of Arimathea actually had to go and ask for permission to take Jesus' body and put spices on it before putting it in the tomb. But I don't think that was a comprehensive burial in the Jewish way. So when Mary went to the tomb, I believe that her intentions were to actually give Jesus a befitting burial. Amen. But thank God that she went in there and the tomb was empty. So early in the morning, the first thing that preoccupies, and the Bible says that whilst it was still dark, and I don't know what gives such a woman courage to walk in the darkness looking for something that she had no idea of. And that preempts that this is so important. And I believe that we can learn something from what Mary Magdalene did. The very first thing in the morning was to seek the Savior's face, was to look for his Lord. He says, I'm looking for my Lord. If you know where he's been placed, tell me. I believe that this is something we Christians should learn something from. Very early in the morning, whilst it's still dark. And dark, when it is mentioned in the scripture, doesn't signify good things. It signifies bad times. It signifies difficult times. And so whilst it is still dark, we must still seek the face of the Lord, like Mary Magdalene did. Most of us look at her as the woman who was delivered, and that is it. But I believe that there is a lot that we can learn from her life. And so the very first thing that she did on this Resurrection Sunday was to go and look for the Lord. How many of us actually spend our first few minutes waiting on the Lord, looking for the Lord? Amen. How many of us actually do? But the story of the resurrection actually teaches us to do so. It teaches us to do so. And so whilst it was still dark, whilst things are not good, whilst people are still losing jobs, it is important that we spend the first few minutes of our day waiting on the Lord or looking for the Lord. Amen. It might be that there is no evidence of his existence. Like in this case, he was dead and they saw him on the cross. He was dead. They took his body and put balm on it. There was no life in his body. But still on Sunday morning, somebody went looking for him. What amount of faith it takes to do this? There may be a situation that you find yourself in, and it might look so useless, but if you will learn something from Mary Magdalene, I believe that you will find that the grave is empty. You will not find exactly the results that we always find. The result was that he was dead and he was supposed to be in the tomb. And if he was not there, like she concluded, then somebody might have picked her body from there. But that was not it. Amen. That was not the result that she found. It was actually that he had risen. Amen. He had actually risen. The next thing is that the disciples actually, when they heard the news, when Mary Magdalene went to tell them that, oh, I have been to the tomb and the tomb is empty, they quickly ran towards the tomb. And you see that in this account, it says the disciple that Jesus loved, which is John and Simon Peter. So these two people are racing towards the tomb. I don't think that the pace at which they went, Mary Magdalene was able to follow them. Because you see that it is recorded here that they were running and John outran Peter. John actually outran Peter, and all of that is recorded. And it's actually interesting that such a small detail is recorded. But as I reflected, I realized that, first of all, the disciples may have lost a lot of hope. They were disjointed. People were doing their own things. Just within these 3 days that Jesus was dead, they had already split. They had already split. Everybody was just doing their own thing. But when she went to tell them, I believe that they were probably together at the time she told them, but only two responded to that message. Only two of them responded to that message. And so they hit the road running. And the Bible says that John actually outran Peter. And why is that important? I believe that sometimes there is kind of competition in the body of Christ. And all of that doesn't matter. Because when you read the scripture very well, you realize that John was running faster because he was younger. He had more strength. Mary Magdalene, who went to report, was also not reported to be in this race. But later on, we know that she came there. So the two of them were racing. It doesn't matter. The race is not to the swift. Amen? It's not to the swift. He got there first. He got to the tomb. And he didn't actually have the courage to go inside. Read the scripture or you will see. That the Bible says that he bent over to look inside and went back. He didn't actually have the courage. So why run and outrun your senior disciple? What was the running for? It was for nothing. He ran and got there. I thought he would run. Where is Jesus? Where is Jesus? No, he couldn't go inside. He stood outside and looked inside. Say, hey, true, this man is not here. So I believe that at that point, they were still coming to terms the Bible actually records that they had actually forgotten that Jesus told them that he would rise on the third day. And so they were actually in a state of shock, in a state of despair. They had nothing to look up to. Because if they were looking up to something, I believe that their attitude would be very different. They would probably be waiting in vigil, you know, waiting to see him rise somewhere from a mountain or maybe from the tomb. He will roll the tomb in a mighty way, you know, then. But none of that is actually recorded. They were hopeless. They didn't have any hope. But then on this morning, hope began to arise. But even that, the nature in which it's recorded tells me that it was not very dramatic. Because he outran Peter, gets there, and doesn't have the courage to actually go inside. And so stands outside and looks inside and sees that the tomb is empty and begins to ask himself, what might have happened? But then the Bible says that Peter actually goes inside and sees that the tomb is empty. Sometimes there is competition in the body of Christ, which is all useless. At the end of the day, we are all aiming for one thing. We all want to get to heaven. So you better help me to get to heaven, and then we can celebrate together. But you getting there first doesn't change anything. I will come in the end. Amen. Amen. I will come in the end. So we are better off helping each other to get to heaven. We are better off getting, encouraging each other and doing things together rather than trying to self-gratify things or gratify ourselves. Amen. There is so much competition in the body of Christ sometimes, and you don't even understand. But that is not the purpose for which Jesus died. Jesus didn't die so that we would divide his body and divide everything that he died for. No, he died to unite us. He died to bring us together. He died that he might be glorified, that you and I will call ourselves brothers and sisters. Amen. When they entered, the cloth and the linen were still apart. They were still apart. And that tells you that it's a masterpiece. It's not recorded clearly how the resurrection actually happened, how Jesus rose and how he took off the linen and how he took off the cloth and what he changed into. All of that is not recorded. But what is recorded is that the linen that was used on his head was apart, and the cloth on his body was also apart. It seems to me that there was some kind of drama happening there, that Jesus actually woke up, had time to take off his head scarf or whatever, put it there, nicely fold it and put it there, and take off his cloth and do the same, and change into a different set of cloth, and then walk out. However, he actually ended up rolling the stones, I don't know. But in another scripture, it says angels actually did. It's kind of incredible to see how these small things actually affect the way the gospel is presented to us. The story of the resurrection is not just one where we think that a man died and rose. But if you actually think about it in detail, you realize that a lot must have gone into it. I believe that there was angels there waiting for him to rise. And when he rose, they also jubilated. And probably there were angels with nicely packed clothes. See, this is for you on your resurrection. Congratulations, you have achieved your goal. You know, you were supposed to die and save us from our sins, and you have done that. You deserve a new set of clothes. So these are your clothes. That's probably what happened when nobody was there, so I can't say, but that's what I'm just imagining. Amen. And so the clothes that he wore were actually left there as evidence for you and I that this was what he was wrapped in. This represents his death, and they are still there. And you can see them. He is not dead. He is risen. Amen. He is not dead. He is risen. You might be looking for the living among the dead. But I came to tell you that Jesus is not dead. He is alive. And he lives with the Father, making intercession for us. Amen. He is making intercession for us. And so we have a high priest who has gone through some of the things that you and I go through. He has experienced the worst of it all, death. He was humiliated. And the Bible says that because of his humiliation, God has given him the name that is above every other name. That at the mention of the name Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Now, something incredible happened when Mary went there the second time. When she went to the tomb the second time, the scripture says that she went inside and now she saw First of all, she stood outside and she was crying. And then she went inside and she saw two angels, one seated at the head and one seated at the foot of where Jesus was placed. But what strikes me is this. On a day when we are supposed to be rejoicing, Mary is actually crying. Why? The Bible says that she stood outside and she was crying. But when she took a step further, something changed. When she was outside, she was crying. She was hopeless. She was like, where is my Savior? Where is Jesus? I'm looking for that lifeless body of Jesus. That was all she could think about at a point in time. And so she was crying. She was in a state of despair. Things may have been looking so bad for her that she thought that, I mean, if she didn't see Jesus, it was over for her. And so she stood outside and she was crying. Sometimes we do the same thing. Sometimes instead of taking the issue to the Lord, we sit in our own corner and we do our own things. We cry about things that we are not supposed to cry about. The Bible says that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is actually in us. Amen. It's actually in us. So why do we sometimes get so desperate about situations? We get knocked out by events of life, and we sometimes are clueless. But if we will take a step further, like Mary did, she actually took a step and went into the tomb once again. And this time she saw something that began to change the story. She saw angels. Oh, there are angels here. And the Bible says they began to speak to her. In other accounts, it says that you are looking for the dead, the living among the dead. He is not here. Amen. He is not here. He is alive. And so they ask her, why are you crying? Who is it that you are looking for? Now, the Bible says that Mary turned around and she saw Jesus. Now, when she saw Jesus, it's incredible how the events that actually happened. She saw Jesus and thought that Jesus was the gardener. How? This Jesus who has been with you for so long and the one you have been looking for, you turn around and see somebody and you think it's the gardener. I don't think there was such a distance between them. But why is it that Mary could not see Jesus the way Jesus was? Why couldn't she identify that it was Jesus or recognize that it was Jesus? I believe that first of all, it was because she was probably crying and so she couldn't see well. Maybe because she couldn't see well. But to go the extent of thinking that Jesus was the gardener may have something to do with the way Jesus was dressed or the way he was looking at the time he resurrected. I'm not sure. But it is something that struck me, that Mary thought that Jesus was actually the gardener and began to speak to him. He says, sir, if you know where he's been put, tell me so that I will go and pick his body. Another laughable thing about Mary. How could she think that she could carry Jesus' body by herself? How could she actually think that? She was telling the gardener, if you know where his body is, tell me so that I could go and take his body. Because I need him. And you think that you can actually carry the lifeless body of Jesus. Sometimes we become so, disillusioned. And we have our own solutions to things. But if only we would allow God and see things from the perspective of God. I believe that her eyes were supposed to be open to see Jesus. But she couldn't see Jesus. She couldn't realize that it was Jesus. And so she began to postulate about certain things, about carrying the body of Christ, which was not necessary because he was not dead. He was not dead. And so you couldn't carry his body. You had to be looking for his spirit. Amen. It was not important for Mary to be looking for the dead body of Jesus and to actually go the extent of carrying it and to do what with it. It was not necessary. Sometimes we are all like Mary. Sometimes we are like the disciples. Sometimes we are just like the angels. We sit there and do nothing. And just say things like they said. But whatever you are, the story that we hear today has a lot of significance for us. That's why I began by saying that it is historical. It is an event that actually took place. But beyond that is the significance of this event for us. Amen. This event is more significant to us than anything. I believe that it is the birth of our religion or Christianity. It's the birth of Christianity. If Christ died and did not resurrect, the Bible says that we would have been the most useless people, the most hopeless people, the most pitiful people on earth. Amen. Because by the power of the Holy Spirit, Jesus did a lot of things when he was alive. And he got a lot of disciples. And the news was spreading very fast. But all of a sudden, they got him, killed him. And 3 days after, he said he will rise. And even though they had forgotten, it didn't really matter. But the news, it would have been recorded if he didn't rise, that Jesus died and didn't rise. Oh, what is the fate of all these ones who followed him? Would it have been necessary to gather here this morning if he didn't rise? It wouldn't be. Because there won't be anything to celebrate. Amen. But thanks be to God who gives us victory through Christ Jesus. That when he died on the cross, he says, the Bible says that death, where is your sting? Where is your power? Because Christ died on the cross, smashed the power of death, and he is risen. He is risen. Because of that, we can confidently say that we are Christians. We are children of the resurrection. And our song is hallelujah. Amen. We are children of the resurrection. If Jesus didn't die, or if he didn't rise, we would have been useless. We would have been faithless and directionless. Everything you can think about. The other thing that struck me about this story is that when Mary turns to Jesus, Jesus actually calls Mary by name. She says, Mary. And that was when Mary began to realize that, oh, this man knows me. It must be Jesus. You know, Jesus knows all of us by name. He knows each and every one of us. Even in his death, he carried us in his heart, in his spirit, and went to the grave with us, and he resurrected with us. Amen. So if you read other sections of scripture, it says that we were buried with Christ Jesus. We were buried into his death. And we were resurrected with him. And so all things must be new. And so if you are called Pius, if you are called Charles, if you are called Mary, you are still called the same. And Jesus knows you by name. He knows everything you are going through. He knows your ups and he knows your downs. He knows your good times and your bad times. And he still recognizes you as the person you are. And he actually says that you are the reason I had to die. You are the reason I had to die. You are the reason I had to go to the grave. And yes, I am risen. And that is why you must rejoice. That is why you must celebrate. Because I have conquered death. I have conquered sickness. I have conquered disgrace. Everything that death went to achieve is for you. It's not for anybody else. It's for you. You can mention your name and say, he died for me. And he resurrected for me. He claimed that victory for me. Not for anybody else, but for me. You can personalize it. Amen. Bringing my sermon to a conclusion, I want us to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 14 to 20. And if Christ had not been raised, our preaching would have been useless. And so is your faith. Your faith would have been useless as well. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God. For we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. But he did not raise him if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead. Amen. The first fruit of all those who have fallen asleep. This is why the resurrection is important for us. This is why it is good news. If Christ died and didn't resurrect, this is what the scripture says. We would have been mocked. The apostles who followed Jesus all their lives, they would have been useless. They would have wasted all their lives. But thanks be to God that he raised Christ Jesus from the dead. And so all these things cannot be said about us. And so if you meet any other religion or any other where they are talking about their messiahs and their prophets and all of them, ask them, which one of them died and resurrected? Which one of them? It's only one of them who died and resurrected, and he's Jesus. Amen. And that is where we get our birth from. That is where our confidence comes from. If a man can die and resurrect, then there must be some power behind it. There must be some power behind it. And that's why the scripture says that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is actually resident in us, is with us. And so we should not be afraid. Even though there may be challenging times, there may be difficult times, like if you actually read in the scripture, you realize that after they experienced this resurrection thing, the scripture says that they all went to their separate homes. Surprisingly, after John and Peter went to the tomb, the Bible says that they actually went to their separate homes. And so Jesus had to show himself more often to them. And I believe that in the coming weeks, we will probably hear of them. So he showed himself to them many times. And then they began to actually come to terms with the fact that he is not dead. He is alive. And he actually went to the extent of showing them his palms and his side where they pierced him and all that. And then they believed that Jesus is actually alive. Amen. Jesus is alive. He is not dead. He is alive. And he is the reason for our praise. He is the reason for our worship. He is the reason for our noise that we make. He is the reason for everything that we do. And the last scripture I want to read is Colossians chapter 2, verse 12 to 15. It says, having been buried with him in baptism and raised with him through your faith in the power of God, who raised him from the dead. When you were dead in your sins and in uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins. And having canceled the written code, or in King James, he says, having canceled every handwriting of evil against us, with its regulation or ordinances or legal issues that was against us, that stood opposed to us, he took it away, nailing it to the cross. And he disarmed the powers of darkness. Amen. All authorities, and made a public spectacle of the enemy. This is why we should be rejoicing. This is why we should be hallelujah people. This is why today we should be singing. Because you know what? When Jesus went to the cross, all he did was for us. And he actually made a public spectacle of the enemy. He shamed the enemy. He said, look, you think that by killing me, you would win. But actually, by killing me, you made me win. Amen. And so he nailed our sicknesses, our weaknesses, our shames, our disgraces, every handwriting of evil, every ordinance that was against us, powers and principalities, he put all of them under him. Amen. Put all of them under him. And for our sake. And actually in this scripture, he actually tells Mary Magdalene, go and tell my brethren. Never in any place in scripture have I read that when Jesus was alive, he actually referred to the disciples as brethren. No, I don't remember that. This is the only place I am reading. I'm still discovering the scripture. But this is the only place I read that he said, my brothers, go and tell my brothers that I am alive. Why is that so important? Because now after he died, he broke every ordinance. Everything that was between us and him and between us and the Father was broken. Now we are heirs with him. And so we can inherit what he had. So we are heirs with him to the Father through the throne. And so we are brothers now. We are sisters now. The authority that he has, we also have. The power that he has, we also have. And that is why now he calls us brothers. In the past, sometimes we were called servants. In the past, sometimes we were called followers. But not anymore. After resurrection, we are brothers and sisters in the Lord. Amen. He has connected us to our Father. And so everything that was between us and the Father is removed by the death and resurrection of Jesus. And so he took away everything that was against us. All our sins are no more. When you look at me, you do not see my sins anymore, but you see the Christ that was crucified and him resurrected. And so you cannot use any of my sins against me. It's impossible. Because the legal issues had been dealt with by Jesus dying on the cross and he rising. And so in the past, when servants like Joshua would stand before the throne of grace and would want to minister, the devil will appear there and accuse them. But not anymore. When we stand in the presence of God, we stand with confidence because we have a high priest who has gone to cancel the power of death and every accusation that is against us. And so when people are pointing fingers at us and saying all sorts of things, we don't really care. We don't want to give them an answer because we are not answerable to them. It is our Jesus who will answer to them. Amen. Because that's what he did for us when he went to the cross. He went to speak on our behalf. You remember that scripture that says that the blood of Abel speaks more than any other blood. Amen. It is the blood of Jesus that speaks even loudest. It is the blood of Jesus that speaks loudest. Anything that has been speaking in your life or in my life that needs to be silenced will be silenced by the power of the blood of Jesus because he went to the cross to put an end to all those things. And that is why we should rejoice in the resurrection. The resurrection is the story of goodness. It's good news to us. And so we should rejoice in it. I pray that from this day forward, you will walk bare-chested, chest out. not like bare-chested, no. Chest out. With confidence, you know, knowing that Christ went to the cross to die for you, and he is risen. Death could not hold him captive. He went out of the grave. It's like a Superman. If you have been watching some of those stories, those movies, like a Superman, all of a sudden, boom, he shows up. He says, I'm Captain Planet. Yay, I'm here. That is what he did for us. That is the story of our resurrection. That is our destiny. We are not people of disgrace. We are not people of death. We are people of life. We are people of goodness and good news. We are people who God has redeemed with his blood and he has shown forth his glory over us. And so we should walk out and smile and be happy. Even when things are not good, you say, I know my Savior. He died and he rose. Amen. If he conquered death, he can conquer anything that I am going through. I don't give a damn what is happening. If they are cutting jobs, let them cut. Because my Savior, he will take my hand and he will lead me where he's supposed to take me. We shouldn't be worried about anything. In the wake of the resurrection, Christ is telling us, everything is possible with me. If you allow me to be with you, I will lead the way. Amen. Shall we pray? Father, in the name of Jesus, we want to thank you. We want to bless you for your word that has come to us. We thank you for sending your son Jesus Christ to go on the cross to die for us, sinners as we are. We want to pray and appropriate the power of the resurrection in our lives. I want to pray any area in our lives where we are dead, any area and anything that needs a resurrection in our life, we pray bringing it to your altar this morning. As we celebrate the resurrection, may every dead thing in our family come back to life. May every hopeless situation come back to life. May every difficult situation come back to life in the name of Jesus. We pray that as you resurrect, you will resurrect with us. Let us share in the glory of the resurrection. Let us live as Easter people, singing about the resurrection, rejoicing in the resurrection. Thank you for the power that Jesus unleashed when he resurrected. May this power be our portion. May we not be powerless, but may we hold power through the resurrection to accomplish what you have called us to do. We thank you and we bless you. In Jesus' name, amen.